to Keith
and Faith,
Mississippi Women. A patriotic song is an enchanted key to memory's deepest cells. It touches secret springs. It kindles sacred flames in chambers of the soul unvisited by other agencies. It wakes to life 10,000 slumbering chords and makes them thrill and pulsate, just as if some loving angel's finger touched them, to that grand God-given sentiment of liberty. Elias Nason, 19th century American composer. I, too, sing America, Langston Hughes. A note to the listener. I'm John Meacham. In the following book, I wrote the narrative text that takes the American story, with special reference to music that shaped those years, from the period before the Revolutionary War through the attacks of Tuesday, September 11, 2001, and the election of Barack Obama as the 44th President of the United States. We occasionally drew on my previous works of history and journalism, including my books about Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, Franklin Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill, and the more general, The Soul of America, as well as essays of mine first published in the New York Times, Time, Newsweek, and Vanity Fair. From his perspective as an artist and performer, Tim McGraw offers his take on selected songs in a series of sidebars. No effort has been made to be encyclopedic. Listeners will surely argue with us about why one song was included but another wasn't. So be it. We welcome open and open-hearted debate. It's our hope that The Songs of America is the opening, not the closing act, in a conversation about the nation's diversity and complexity. That's among the reasons we undertook the project, to inspire Americans to think more widely and more deeply about the country Abraham Lincoln called the last best hope of Earth. Overture, the music of history. Nothing is more agreeable and ornamental than good music. Every officer, for the credit of his corps, should take care to provide it. George Washington. In the beginning were the words, the stately rhythms of the Declaration of Independence, the passionate eloquence of Thomas Paine's Common Sense, the steady notes of the Constitution. All men, Thomas Jefferson asserted, were created equal, with unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In building such a nation, a new thing under the sun, founded on an idea, not on brute strength, we, in Paine's stirring prose, had it in our power to begin the world over again. And that enterprise, an endless odyssey, would, as the Constitution's preamble put it, have a central, consuming aim, a more perfect union. History isn't just something we read. It's also something we hear. We hear the musketry on the green at Lexington and Concord, and the hoofbeats of Paul Revere's midnight ride. We hear the moans of the wounded and of the dying on the fields of Antietam and of Gettysburg. We hear the quiet clump of the boots of Grant and Lee on the porch steps of Wilmer McLean's house at Appomattox, and the crack of a pistol at Ford's Theater. We hear the cries of the enslaved, the pleas of suffragists, the surf at Omaha Beach. We hear a sonorous president, his voice scratchy on the radio, reassuring us that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And we hear another president, impossibly young and dashing, his breath white in the inaugural air, telling us to ask not what our country can do for us, but what we can do for our country. And we hear the whoosh of helicopters in the distant jungles of Southeast Asia. And we hear the baritone of a minister standing before the Lincoln Memorial, telling us about his dream. Such are the sounds of our history, whispers from the American pageant. They are glimpses and glimmers from our common story, a story of promises made and broken, of reform and reaction, a story fundamentally shaped by the perennial struggle between what Abraham Lincoln called the better angels of our nature and our worst impulses.